There was also time for play, and so we children made our own hall high up in the woods. A hall of unsplit logs with a thatch of bracken, and a badger's skull nailed to the gable in imitation of the boar's skull that crowned Ragnar's home. And in our pretend hall, Rorik and I fought over who would be king, though Thyra, his sister who was 8 years old, was always the lady of the house. She would spin wool there, because if she did not spin enough thread by winter's end, she would be punished, and she would watch while we boys fought our mock battles with toy wooden swords. Most of the boys were servants' sons or slave children, and they always insisted I was the English chief while Rorik was the Danish leader, and my warband only received the smallest, weakest boys, and so we nearly always lost. And Thyra, who had her mother's pale gold hair, would watch and spin, ever spinning, the distaff in her left hand while her right teased the thread out of a sheared fleece. Every woman had to spin and weave. Ragnar reckoned it took 5 women, or 12 girls, a whole winter to spin enough thread to make a new sail for a boat. And boats were always needing new sails, and so the women worked every hour the gods sent. They also cooked, boiled walnut shells to dye the new thread, picked mushrooms, tanned the skins of the slaughtered cattle, collected the moss we used for wiping our asses, rolled beeswax into candles, malted the barley, and placated the gods. There were so many gods and goddesses, and some were peculiar to our own house, and those the women celebrated in their own rites, while others, like Odin and Thor, were mighty and ubiquitous. But they were rarely treated in the same way that the Christians worshipped their god. A man would appeal to Thor, or to Loki, or to Odin, or to Vikir, or to any of the other great beings who lived in Asgard, which seemed to be the heaven of the gods. But the Danes did not gather in a church as we had gathered every Sunday and every Saints' Day in Bebbanburg. And just as there were no priests among the Danes, nor were there any relics or sacred books, I missed none of it. I wish I had missed Sven, but his father, Kjartan, had a home in the next valley, and it did not take long for Sven to discover our hall in the woods. And as the first winter frosts crisped the dead leaves and the berries shone on hawthorn and holly, we found our games turning savage. We no longer split into 2 sides, because we now had to fight off Sven's boys who would come stalking us. But for a time, no great damage was done. It was a game, after all. Just a game. But one Sven won repeatedly. He stole the badger's skull from our gable, which we replaced with a fox's head. And Thyra shouted at Sven's boys, skulking in the woods, that she had smeared the fox skull with poison. And we thought that very clever of her. But next morning we found our pretend hall burned to the ground.
A hall burning, Rorik said bitterly.
Hall burning?
It happens at home, Rorik explained. You go to an enemy's hall and burn it to the ground. But there's one thing about a hall burning. You have to make sure everyone dies. If there are any survivors, then they'll take revenge. So you attack at night, surround the hall, and kill everyone who tries to escape the flames.